Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
I stay in the garden.
John chapter 16 today, if you have your Bibles. I kind of started on John chapter 16 verse 9 last week. We'll just go back and talk about that a minute or two because it all, actually I need to read verse 8 too. Remember, we're in the upper room discourse in chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. And part of 17, Jesus is talking to his fellow apostles and disciples and letting them know that he's leaving and he's not going to leave them as orphans, that he's going, but he's going to send the Holy Spirit to be with them, and that he's going to, that when he leaves, he's going to tell them later that it's going to be better that he leaves. He says it is necessary and it is to their advantage is what he says. We've been talking about all the things that he's been telling. They're no longer servants, but they're friends, and the world's going to hate them. But guess what? They've got somebody to be with them. They got their defense attorney. They got the Holy Spirit. He's going to defend them. He's going to help them. He's going to comfort them. He's going to encourage them during the tough times. He keeps telling them that he's going away, and that their last time we said that sorrow had filled their heart, they've kind of forgotten about their set, forgotten about Jesus, and kind of focused on themselves, right? Sometimes it's easy to do when we get in our problems, when we get in our trouble, we forget about everybody else and just focus on ourselves. But if we focus on other people, that helps us get out of our problems, doesn't it? When we minister to other people, I told y'all the little story about the lady and the flowers, about how once she started helping people that were alive instead of giving flowers for the graves in the cemetery, that they couldn't find nothing wrong with her. Today we want to get back to verse 8 and 9. I just want to read verse 8 because this is where it starts. He says, he's talking about he's sending the helper, and he says, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, verse 8, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And this is kind of where we stopped last time, of sin, because they do not believe in me. And so Jesus has revealed that the Spirit's going to have a threefold ministry, that he would convict the world, that he will enlighten the disciples, and he's going to glorify Jesus. That's all in verses 8 through about 15. And so when he gets here, he says he's going to convict them of sin. And notice that's the word sin is singular. It's not sins, but it's singular. That we all are guilty of sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The ultimate sin is what? Rejecting Jesus, right? That the main sin that we can clean up our life and still go to hell because we have never trusted Jesus Christ. The bottom line is if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, nothing else is going to get you into hell. Not baptism, not communion, not joining a church, not good deeds, not giving money. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one's going to get to the Father or to heaven but by him. And so he's going to convict them of sin. And we've talked about the reason the world hates us is why. Because when we live a certain way, the Holy Spirit living in through us, the Holy Spirit, that we let our light so shine that others see our good works, and they do what? Glorify our Father who's in heaven, right? And when they see our good works, it makes them feel bad. When they see the right way of living, they feel bad. They don't know what to do with that, because they know what they're doing is wrong, and so they can get convicted of their sin. And ultimately, Jesus is here to convict them. The Holy Spirit is to convict them of their unbelief in Jesus Christ, is what they ultimately want to do, because Jesus is the ultimate and final revelation of God to men. You know, the Hebrews chapter 1 says, in the past, in many ways and many times and various ways, that God has spoken to us through His prophets and all these different ways. But He says, in these last days, He's spoken to us what? By His Son, right? And He is the one that has spoken to us now. Over and over and over again, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the ultimate revelation. Every time we saw Jesus do something in this world, every time He walked, every time He talked, every time He did a miracle, He was revealing the righteousness of God. He was revealing who He was. That's what that whole book of John is written about, that we would believe. He convicts us of sin because He came to destroy sin, right? That is the bottom line. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And so that is what He comes to do. He convicts us of sin because they do not believe in Me. Verse 10, of righteousness. Notice these because statements. He convicts them of sin because they do not believe in Me. Of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see me no more. And the key point of that is they're convicted of righteousness, of the standard. What is righteousness? It is a standard of right living, right? And Jesus convicts us of His righteousness and our unrighteousness by the fact that we see that, guess what? He's gone to the Father. Romans chapter 1, I think it's verse 4, He says, and He was declared to be the Son of God with power by His resurrection from the dead. Jesus is showing that the fact that because He is righteous, we are unrighteous, and the fact that proves that is, guess what? His resurrection. When Jesus came out of the grave, when Jesus went to heaven, when Jesus came out of that grave, that is the final proof of our Lord's righteousness. And remember, Jesus was asked in chapter 2, after He turned the water into wine and all these things, and he's in that section right after that, and the Jewish leaders say, what sign will you show us that we may believe who You are? And what does He do? He said, I won't give you any other sign other than the fact that this body is going to be dead. It's going to be in the grave 3 days, and it's going to be raised again. He was basically saying that just as Jonah was in the fish, the whale, whatever you want to call it, for 3 days and 3 nights, I'm going to be in the grave for 3 days, and I'm going to rise from the grave. And after that happens, guess what? That's going to be the proof that I'm God. Do we know anybody that's been raised from the grave except for Jesus? No, we don't. The point is the resurrection was witnessed by the apostles, and this was proclaimed to be the proof that Jesus is precisely who He claimed to be, the Son of God. And so many, many places they talk about that. And so as we look at these things, Matthew 12, I want to read that section over there. Matthew 12, verse 38 to 40. And He gets over there and He talks about that. And He says over there, that's where it says He's talking about the sign of Jonah. He says, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from You. But He answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. On and on and on, He tells us that. And the bottom line is when Jesus raises from the dead, what happens? They remember he said these things. I was reading a couple of weeks ago in one of the Gospels at the end of it. What happens? They get down there, I think it's the last few chapters of Luke, and Peter and John are racing to the tomb. And John beats Peter to the tomb, but he doesn't go in the tomb. But Peter goes in the tomb and he sees the grave clothes laying there. And then he looks and they realize and they remember that Jesus said he was going to rise from the grave. The Bible continues to tell us that when Jesus was raised from the dead, that was the proof that he is the Son of God, that he is God in human flesh. And so that is the proof that he is righteous and we're unrighteous. He says he's going to convict us in verse 11 of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Guess what? He says he's going to convict us of righteousness. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. In other words, if the devil's been judged, if Satan's been judged, guess what? If he's going to judge this great angel, used to be the highest angel in all of creation, if he's been judged, then guess what? We will be judged too. If he's the ultimate sinner and he's been judged, we're going to be judged too. What happens? Because the devil's judged, we're going to be judged. And remember, the Holy Spirit's job is to ultimately convict us of sin, right? And we talked about that a few weeks ago. It means to reprove or correct. And ultimately, the Holy Spirit wants to bring us to what? Salvation, right? But not everybody's going to believe. Not everybody's going to trust Christ. And I don't understand that. I don't understand how some people can sit in church all their life or how some people can hear the truth about Jesus and yet they will not believe. I mean, I can walk these hallways and ask people to come to church. And some people, they immediately start hemming and hawing and, no. And they don't want to come. And some people, I had the craziest thing I ever had. One guy, I went to one place one time and the guy was sitting there watching the snow on the TV screen. I mean, that was all that was on the screen. And I said, "You want to come to church?" And he said, "I'm too busy right now." And I said, "Okay." That must have been some interesting snow. He must have saw some stuff on there I couldn't see because I didn't know what to do about that. I said, "Okay, well, thank you. See you later." Just when I thought I heard it all, right? So, we will be judged because the devil's been judged. Then he goes on in verse 12 and he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Think about this. Jesus is talking to them and he's told them all kinds of things. But guess what? He comes to a point and he says, "There's no sense talking to y'all anymore because guess what? Sorrows fill their heart. They're hurting. They're in pain. They're thinking about Jesus leaving and that's all they can think of." And he's already told them all these hard things, that they're going to be hated by the world, they're going to be kicked out of the synagogues, that he's leaving, but he will be back, but he's leaving, and all these things are just weighing them down. And he says, "I've got many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." In other words, you can't handle them, right? And think about it, that's the way God works in our life, doesn't he? He works in our life and he tells us things a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. I heard it said this way one time about Moses. Think about old Moses. If Moses had been told when God first called him that he was going to have to drag 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 million people, however many people it was, through that desert for 40 years and go through all the stuff that he went through, what do you think he'd have done? He might have said, "No, go find somebody else, God." But he progressively worked in his life and he progressively works in our life. And as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does he do? He reveals more and more things to us, right? Think about this Bible. sometimes you read it and you read a passage over and over and over again, and you maybe read it 400 times, maybe. Maybe not that many, but the 401st time, what happens? All of a sudden you go, wow, I never saw that before. And God shows you something that's in that section of Scripture. And why does He wait to show you? Because you weren't ready to handle it. You couldn't bear it. You couldn't understand it. But when you get to a certain point of growth in your life, then you can handle it, right? And that's the Christian life. We're growing and learning. We should be growing and learning until the day we pass out of this world and go to heaven. We should be, shouldn't we? And that's what God wants to do, is slowly reveal things to us. And so He says in verse 13, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Listen what He says. However, when He, notice it's who? It's a He, right? The Holy Spirit is not a it. He is a He. He is the one part of the Trinity. He is always referred to as a He because He has emotion. He has mind, will, emotions, just as we do, right? That's why we're made in the image of God, mind, will, and emotions. And so He says, however, when He, and then He's what? The Spirit of truth, right? He is the one, He will guide you into all truth. What is all truth? One thing, how about this Bible? That's right. This Bible is truth, right? What does Jesus say in John 17? Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth, right? This is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit is the guide. He said He will guide you. I mean, if you go somewhere and you've never been before, unless you got your computer out, or I guess it's kind of hard, say you go up in the mountains or somewhere, or you walking down a trail, unless you've got a trail guide, you get lost, right? I get lost real easy. Bottom line is you need a map, you need a guide, you need something to show you the truth. And He is the one that guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the guide. He is the Spirit of truth. And when He has come, He will guide us into all truth. Think about this. Here's one of my favorite verses. I'm just going to read four or five verses here, and by the time you turn there, I'll be through reading it. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. See, He didn't leave us as orphans. He gave us everything we need between the Bible, between the Holy Spirit, and God speaking to us through prayer. And how do we speak to God through prayer? Through the Holy Spirit, ultimately, right? And when we do these things, what happens? We have everything we need for life and godliness. Everything to live this life through the knowledge of Him. And so we have everything we need to live this life. We can make decisions based on this Word. We can decide what we need to do in life. And everything that happens in life, this is our guidebook, right? Somebody called it Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E, right? Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. But they're a little bit more than basic instructions. They're big instructions because they are, we go beyond the basics. And then He says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. And then He says in verse 26, these things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and not as and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide Him. I used to think Paul was the only one that wrote in circles, but John can write some pretty good circles too. But what he says there in 1 John chapter 2:20 is, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things, that God has given you all knowledge. You don't know everything, but God has revealed all kinds of things to you that you don't even think you would normally know. You know, somebody told me this way, that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what, folks? We can be smarter than a PhD. Why? Because we can know things that they don't know, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says the natural man does not understand the things of God because they are foolishness to him. But the deep things are understood by those who know Jesus Christ. The deep things are known by those who know God. There's so much knowledge in this Bible. It's amazing to me. If you look through this Bible, you will find all kinds of things in here. I mean, the Bible, just a few of the things that the Bible tells us about. You know, Leviticus tells us that the life is in the blood. Did you know that? I was reading yesterday that it was a guy, William Harvey. He didn't really understand that's what really made us live, and the way our bodies work is through the circulation of blood. You know when he discovered this? He was born in 1547 and he lived to about 1607, I think it was. So somewhere in that period of time, he discovers that blood is what makes us live. So how long at this point has the earth been around? According to the Bible, 6 to 10,000 years, right? So it took somebody 5 to 8,000 years to figure that out. But the Bible said it all the way back in Leviticus. Job, if you read Job, he talks about the sun goes in a circuit. Did you know that the sun is on a circuit? Not only is the earth rotating and moving in a circuit, but the sun rotates around and around, and it's on a circuit through space. Guess what? Job tells us that there's currents in the ocean. We just figured that out in the last 40, 50 years, right? He says that there's currents in the wind. There's all kinds of things that you can find in your Bible that nobody knew until maybe even this century. But they're here because God has shown us the deep things. But like the man, I've told y'all about the man one time before that used to come to my office, and I used to have a little small Gideon's Bible laying on the desk, and he said, "I read that sometimes." I said, "You do?" And I thought for a minute he was a Christian. And then he says, "I read it sometimes when I'm stressed, when I'm worried, when things are going crazy." But you know what he told me? He said, "But I don't understand a thing it says, but it makes me feel better." He knew that the Word of God made him feel better. He didn't understand it, but just reading it made him feel better. And you know what? He wasn't a saved man. That's why he didn't understand the Word of God. I've had people ask me, say, "I can't understand the Word of God." I said, "Well, do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior?" And they say, "No," or, "I just trusted Him last week." I said, "Well, it will start to open up to you now. You will start to understand it, because the Bible is God's love letter to His people, to the people that know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so He's going to guide us into all truth. Not just some truth, but all truth. Think about this. Think about the prophecies in the Bible. Think about all the stuff. I mean, you know, when we get to the book of Revelation, we can read the book of Revelation and we can see exactly how it's all going to turn out one day, right? Think about this. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, I mean, in chapter 1 or chapter 2 of Matthew or Luke, I can't remember which one it is right now, but there's about 10 or 11 different prophecies. One man said that if you just had the prophecies related to Jesus being born in Bethlehem, just the ones related to Him being born in Bethlehem, I don't know if that's just that one or several, he said it would be, the chances of that happening would be like an 80% 7 with 93 zeros behind it. Anybody know what that number is? That's a big number, isn't it? But Jesus fulfilled at least 100 prophecies when he came the first time. I don't know what the number is. I've heard 300 and I've heard 100. But he fulfilled at least 100 prophecies when he came the first time. And he'll fulfill at least 100 or 200 more when he comes. And you can't just make things happen the way you want to unless you're God, right? What John tells us in this section is not that we don't need a teacher, but what he says is you have the Holy Spirit as your ultimate teacher. As you're reading the Bible, you can read through this Bible and all of a sudden God will just show you things in here. And you get one of those aha moments. Wow, I never saw that before. And you can be watching somebody on TV, one of these false teachers, and believe me, there's plenty of them on TV. But you can watch these false teachers and you can hear somebody speak and then all of a sudden you go, that don't sound right. And you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. He says, I say these things because of those concerning those trying to deceive you. The Holy Spirit inside of you will say, look, that don't sound right. And if it don't sound right, you got to be like the Bereans and go and search the scriptures and see if these things are true, right? Because the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. There's one more verse and we'll close this out. But he says in Jeremiah 31 verse 33, but this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and they will be my God. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, say, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. And so we have prophecy, we have all kinds of things are in this word. But be careful too, because the Holy Spirit will guide you into what? All truth, right? That means that He will never tell you to do anything that's contrary to God's Word. He will not say, go do something, go lie, go steal, go do something, because the Bible says don't lie, don't steal, right? And also, remember, some of these people today, they say they got new revelation. Oh, I just found this. I just saw this. Somebody told me this. And that's how we got a lot of these so-called religions we have today, because guess what? They say, oh, God revealed this new truth to me. No, He did not. The Bible says don't add to His Word, don't take away from His Word. It says it in Deuteronomy, it says in the book of Revelation. He says, if you take away to my Word or add to my Word, I will take your name out of the book of life. That is the book of heaven, where you belong if you know Jesus. But he can't take you out. But if you don't know Jesus, you will be one of those people that add to His Word and take away from His Word. And then he says lastly here, well, I'm going to stop right there today because I don't want to get into the next section. But basically he says He's going to guide us into all truth. We need to remember that God is the one who knows it all. He created it all. He knows the beginning to the end. He knows our thoughts before we even think them, doesn't He? That's a scary thing, isn't it? He knows our thoughts before we even think them. But you know what, folks? God give us the Holy Spirit to replace. He's not some consolation gift to replace Jesus. But because He comes, He can be with all of us all at one time. And He guides us and He leads us and He helps us and He comforts us. And He's there with us no matter what's going on in our life. And that's why God sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, folks. It's because He loves us so much. And He wanted us to know that He's always going to be with us. And He's never going to leave us and He's never going to forsake us. The Bible tells us also that if you have not the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Him. But If you have the Spirit of Christ, you belong to Jesus, because He comes the moment you believe. The moment you receive Christ, He comes into your life and He becomes the power inside of you to help you live the life to be the kind of person you could never be. I keep telling people, you know, the Marines and all these people tell us to be all we can be. The only way you'll ever be all you can ever really truly be is if you know Jesus. Because with Jesus, you can be the person that you never dreamed of being. He will fulfill your wildest dreams, the things that He wants to do in your life. It's amazing what God will do in your life. Not that He gives us everything here and everything's perfect and rosy, but the fact is, the best comes after we go to heaven, right? But it also means that we do get way better here. Because even though things may be tough, it's better because we have God and we have the Holy Spirit, right? And that's what makes life enjoyable. Heaven is not a place. It's not in a place, but it's here and it's now. It's in Jesus Christ. And we get a taste of heaven now, but we get all of it later. So let's pray and let's close. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank You that you sent Him to guide us into all truth. And You said also that He would speak and He would lead us and He would guide us and He would help us. He would comfort us. He would be there with us during the tough times, the hard times. So Lord, we thank You for that Holy Spirit who was the gift of the Father and the Son. And we just thank You, Lord, that You have given us so much, that we have so many riches. We have spiritual riches. We've been adopted as children and we've been given all the spiritual riches in the heavenly places. He didn't say He gave us all the money riches, but He gave us all the spiritual riches. And we thank You for that. We thank You for knowing Jesus, and we ask that if there's even one that doesn't know You here today, that they would trust You and know that freedom and that wholeness, that righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. So Lord, speak to hearts today. And for those that are struggling and having a tough time, just let Your Holy Spirit come and encourage and defend and wrap their arms around them today. Wrap Your arms around them today and let them know just how much You love them and that You hadn't left them, that You hadn't forsaken them. But You're still with them. You still love them. And that You'll be with them no matter what happens. And it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus one day. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, or in a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addiction, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free, and these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way that so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.